Nobody wants to see cross-strait issues come to blows. Certainly not President Biden, and there's no reason that it should.
Nations focus on China's actions. It's Monday, October 25th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, asking the Taliban to keep promises. The Olympics return to China under protest. A tough holiday shopping season. The business of Asian food. Dumplings drop from New York vending machines. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin wrapped up his trip to Europe at the conclusion of the NATO Defense Ministerial in Brussels, with a focus on China and Afghanistan. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb reports.
At the forefront of the NATO Defense Ministerial in Brussels, conflicts past, present, and future, from lessons learned in Afghanistan to Russia breaking diplomatic ties with NATO this week amid aggression on the alliance's eastern flank, to growing concerns about a potential war between China and Taiwan.
Nobody wants to see cross-strait issues come to blows, certainly not President Biden, and there's no reason that it should.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters Friday in Brussels the United States remains committed to bolstering Taiwan's defensive military capabilities. He also reaffirmed America's support for the sovereignty of U.S. allies fighting Russian aggression. Prior to the NATO talks, Austin made stops this week in Romania, a NATO ally bordering the Black Sea, as well as Georgia and Ukraine, two partners partially occupied by Russian and Russian-backed forces. Max Bergman of Washington-based think tank Center for American Progress says the stops are a sign that warm relations with Russia are not on the horizon.
I think the Biden administration, perhaps early on, maybe overdid it a little bit, raised a little bit of concern among some in Eastern Europe that it wasn't super focused on Russia and on the concerns of Eastern Europe. Any of those concerns should now sort of go away.
This week's NATO defense ministerial was the first since the coalition's chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, which has drawn widespread criticism. Bergman calls the fallout a, quote, dark period in the NATO alliance.
I think Afghanistan has definitely been a strain on the alliance. Look, you know, Europeans felt that they weren't adequately consulted, and they felt that this was in some ways a unilateral decision by President Biden to withdraw.
An Afghan veteran, Bradley Bowman, of Washington-based think tank Foundation for Defense of Democracies, says the episode opened up the U.S. to criticism that it is a fickle and unreliable partner.
There's no doubt that that America's reputation as a result of the horrible decision that the Biden administration made in Afghanistan has been tarnished. I think it's been tarnished in Europe and it's been tarnished around the world.
The Taliban is back in power. Several hard-fought gains in Afghanistan eroded. And reports now say hundreds of Americans and thousands of Afghans who partnered with the U.S. were left behind. Austin said the U.S. has a moral responsibility to help those who stood with America.
We're not finished. We'll continue our work, and so we'll work as hard as long as we need to take care of as many people as we possibly can.
U.S. evacuation capabilities have been limited since American troops exited. U.S. military forces helped evacuate more than 100,000 people from the war-torn country during the last 2 weeks of August. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
Many more details await you at Twitter at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia and visit our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. U.S. envoy urges North Korea to end provocations. AUKUS, China Sea tensions, put Indonesia in a tight spot, according to analysts. Taiwan and U.S. discuss U.N. participation ahead of key anniversary. A report says Beijing built repressive governance system for Uyghur region. Thai water project clears major hurdle after China shows interest. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia, also Instagram, Twitter, and the voanews.com website. Much more ahead remains on VOA Asia. Right now, Afghan women leaders are calling on United Nations member countries to pressure the Taliban to keep their promises and allow women to work and girls to study. As VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports, girls are still banned from secondary school under Taliban rule in Afghanistan.
Let girls learn. That was the demand of Afghan women leaders living in exile who spoke at the United Nations this week. Naheed Farid is a former member of the Afghan parliament.
Today marks the 34th day that Afghan girls banned from attending secondary school. Extrajudiciary killings, public executions, ethnic cleansing, molestations, mass killings takes place in Afghanistan as we speak.
Ever since the Taliban took back power in Afghanistan in late August, Afghan women have been taking to the streets, demanding the Islamist group allow them back into the workplace and let girls return to school as promised. So far, the Taliban is only letting a very limited number of women work, such as some midwives and nurses, and have said they will let girls return to school in accordance with Sharia law. At Thursday's United Nations special meeting, Britain's Minister for UN Issues, Tariq Ahmad, had a message for the Taliban.
So let me address the Taliban quite directly. Islam provides for women's rights. It does not deny it. Islam provides for education for all, not just for boys, but for girls. Islam talks of empowerment of all communities, protection of minorities, not the suppression of them.
Afghan women want a seat at the table, Asila Wardak of the Afghan Women's Network says.
Please do not talk about me in these discussions. Create spaces for me and other Afghan women leaders to talk directly with the Taliban. This is how you meaningfully include women in peace process and peace and security process as well as humanitarian assistance projects. Give us a seat at the table. Do not put us into the corridor.
At the United Nations, several Afghan women leaders warned of the dire humanitarian situation in their homeland and said women should not just be beneficiaries of aid, but also leaders in distribution. Fawzia Kufi is a former member of the Afghan parliament.
It is imperative that the UN demand the protection and inclusion of Afghan women in every stage of aid and humanitarian aid distribution, from planning to implementation and being the recipients.
For now, girls are only allowed to attend primary school in Afghanistan. And in many cases, teachers have not been paid their salary in 2 months. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, protesting the Olympics. Happening now regarding Asia, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki appeared to walk back U.S. President Joe Biden's statement that the United States was committed to defending Taiwan should it come under Chinese attack. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We hope your day's going well, and we're glad you're spending part of it with us at VOA Asia. There has been plenty of controversy leading up to the 2022 Winter Olympics that are scheduled to begin in China next February. The latest protest has been in Greece. VOA's Elizabeth Lee has details.
The famed Acropolis in Athens, Greece, has become a place of protest. Teles Aksang, one of the activists holding a flag, is there to speak out against China.
At the Acropolis, myself and Joey Su were able to deploy two flags, a Tibetan flag and a Hong Kong Revolution flag, an expression of our identities that would be impossible back in Tibet, China, Hong Kong, East Turkestan, Southern Mongolia, and more.
Human rights activists also briefly disrupted the Olympic flame lighting ceremony at the ancient site of Olympia, where the first Olympic Games took place.
We do not think that the Chinese government is fit to hold these prestigious games, and that it is on us, people of the nation, people of the conscience, to bring about awareness and to fight for human rights and stand on the right side of history.
The events in Greece mark the latest protests against the location of the 2022 Winter Games. In July, the European Parliament passed a resolution calling on government officials to boycott the Games. The action, prompted by China's implementation of the national security law in Hong Kong, following months of pro-democracy demonstrations. Chinese state media say the controversial security law aims to make Hong Kong safer. But international observers say it erodes democracy and limits freedom of speech and the right to assemble. In May, U.S. lawmakers also pushed to move the Olympics to another location.
If we can postpone an Olympics by a year for a pandemic, we can surely postpone an Olympics for a year for a genocide. This would give the IOC time to relocate to a country whose government is not committing atrocities.
Human rights groups have blasted China for its detention of Uyghur minority Muslims. China denies any abuses, saying many Uyghurs are not being detained, but sent to learn vocational skills to help fight poverty.
Our struggle with the U.S. and the West over human rights is actually not about human rights in nature. That is because they want to make human rights a big stick to suppress us.
Beijing claims the protests against holding the Olympics in China are politically motivated.
China stands ready to work together with the international community to reject the politicization of sports and demonstrate a new Olympic spirit of greater unity and support for each other while marching toward the future.
A stance activists reject.
Human rights abuses and genocide is not a political issue.
As the protests and controversy continue, the 2022 Winter Beijing Olympics is scheduled to begin in February. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Washington.
Would you like to see this story? You can. Just visit us at VOA Asia Facebook.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Building shook in Taipei Sunday as a 6.5 magnitude earthquake struck northeastern Taiwan, but there were no reports of damage. The European Mediterranean Seismological Center said the quake struck at a depth of some 60 kilometers, about 65 kilometers northeast of Hualien City. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, experts say the issues facing global shipping means shoppers will likely face higher prices and fewer choices this holiday season. For VOA, Karina Befridjian has more in this report.
From cars and computers to home appliances, apparel and shoes, the global shipping crisis is expected to bring high prices to a wide range of businesses. Paul Bender, CEO of game publisher Greater Than Games, has designed and distributed board games online for more than a decade. His business depends on manufacturing in China. 2020 was a good year for Bender, with so many people sheltering in place, the board game industry sales skyrocketed. But he says that it has been harder to keep up production in 2021 because getting game parts shipped from China is more difficult.
If we were going to get a 40-foot cargo container from, say, the port of Shanghai or the port of Shenzhen, to kind of in southern China, wherever they're coming from in China, to St. Louis, Missouri, where we're located, about a year ago, it was maybe $6,000 for a cargo container all in, and it would maybe take 4 to 6 weeks. Now, we're getting quoted prices that are around $25,000 per container, and it is taking months and months with not a lot of clarity about how long it's going to take.
Bender says the higher shipping prices are forcing him to raise his prices. Many other businesses are in the same situation. Experts say the high shipping costs are due to cargo container shortage in China. Some of the Chinese containers held in U.S. or other ports around the world have been waiting for months to be unloaded.
This is the problem. We don't have enough truck drivers. Why is that? Because last year, many truck drivers, well, there's no business. So they switched to work for Amazon because Amazon is growing like crazy. So once they shift, they don't want to go back because it's just too complicated.
Another reason are factory shutdowns in Asia.
The demand goes up, but the supply went down. Why it went down? Because in Asia, because of vaccination, the vaccine is not widely available. In Malaysia, in Vietnam, in China, they just don't have enough. So as a result, the Delta variants, when they are COVID cases, they may have to quarantine. Sometimes the factories may need to close.
As production fell, online sales of apparel, computers, and other products rose dramatically since the start of the pandemic. Experts say over-reliance on Chinese imports is at the root of the global shipping crisis. In mid-October, U.S. President Joe Biden announced that the country's largest ports in California will work around the clock to clear 500,000 cargo containers. But experts say more needs to be done at the local level for the plan to work.
Even if things are moving off of the boats faster, if the warehouses are only operating the same number of hours, how's that product going to get processed?
Alternative transportation methods also cannot solve the problem, says Paul Bender.
Some companies have been talking about doing air freight for stuff, you know, have an airplane bring it over instead of a cargo ship, which is a lot quicker, but it is very expensive, very, very expensive. And that's also had cost increases for how much it costs. So it's not really doable.
With the holiday season just a few weeks away, experts say shoppers are likely to see higher prices and longer delivery times. Karina Befredjian for VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia, police continue to investigate an attack that killed at least six people in a Rohingya camp in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, Friday. Authorities say an armed gang attacked a religious school, killing three teachers, two volunteers, and a student. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, a unique dining experience is attracting patrons to get their feet wet while food delivery in China hits an expensive speed bump. These are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Chris Cascao.
A Thai restaurant has taken dining with a water view to the next level. Its customers perch precariously on wooden stools as murky brown floodwater laps at their tables. Tropical storm Dianmu and heavy monsoon rains have caused flooding in 33 Thai provinces, inundating more than 300,000 households and claiming nine lives. But the crisis has been a boon for the Chao Phraya Antique Cafe in Nantaburi, part of the vast sprawl of Bangkok upriver from the city center. When flooding began, owner Titiporn Jutimanon intended to close the restaurant but soon realized customers did not actually mind being surrounded by water. For Jutimanon, it was an opportunity he couldn't pass up.
It's a crisis that's eventually turned into an opportunity. The opportunity that's supported by the kindness of the customers.
Restaurants in Bangkok and other hotspots yo-yoed in and out of restrictions on in-house dining this year as a deadly third wave of coronavirus infections took hold. Thai authorities allowed in-house dining to resume in September as part of an easing of restrictions as new cases fell to around 10,000 a day, down from a peak of 23,000 in August. China has fined food delivery giant Meituan 3.4 billion yuan, $527 million, for monopolistic practices and ordered it to undertake a comprehensive rectification, the market watchdog said recently. Authorities have launched a crackdown on a range of homegrown tech behemoths, including Meituan, ride-hailing giant Didi Chuxing, and e-commerce titan Alibaba, for alleged monopolistic behaviors and aggressive harvesting of consumer data. Meituan has been under fire since market regulators launched an investigation into the group in April, with particular scrutiny paid to the working conditions of its millions of delivery drivers, who are often employed as third-party contractors without legal protections or worker benefits. The State Administration of Market Regulation said in an online statement that an investigation had concluded the group had abused its dominant market position in China's online food delivery platform market. It added that Meituan's behavior eliminates and restricts market competition, weakens platform innovation power, and damages consumers' interests. The 3.4 billion RMB fine is equal to 3% of Meituan's 2020 domestic sales, the watchdog said. It is just the latest homegrown tech giant to come under Beijing scrutiny. Meituan shares plunged 14% in July after new rules were issued to protect hard-pressed drivers and ensure workers' incomes are above minimum salary levels. For Business Scene, I'm Chris Cascajo.
Be sure to see VOA Asia Business Scene. Just visit the VOA Asia YouTube channel for this visual culinary experience. Food lovers in New York City's East Village neighborhood can now order dumplings from a vending machine. A New York restaurateur hopes to save fast food restaurants impacted by the pandemic from bankruptcy by bringing back vending machines to the eateries. VOA Sola Yahoyev has more, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
The launch of Brooklyn Dumpling Shop restaurant comes at a time when New York City is recovering from the coronavirus pandemic. As elsewhere in the world, the dining experience in New York has changed because of the pandemic, leading many customers to demand contactless ordering.
I think right now this kind of service is very helpful. I mean, you can go in and order, and contactless seems to work.
This is what I do every day. I taste new dumplings. Tomorrow I'm trying provolone and salami, and I'm trying peanut butter and jelly. But these are really good.
Restaurant owner Stratis Morfogan says his concept of selling dumplings from a vending machine came before the pandemic, but it has proven to be the perfect model during COVID.
I built this model in 2019. It was funded, the first store lease was done, everything was done months and months before COVID. The timing is eerie, because this is the perfect concept for the times we live in today in a post-COVID world.
Ordering dumplings at the restaurant is easy, says Morfokin.
The whole order experience, I mean, schedule a time, place your order, pay for your order, and pick up your order without speaking to any of my staff.
Morfokin says each vending locker is equipped with UV lights and are heated and refrigerated to not only avoid coronavirus, but germs, bacteria, and other viruses as well.
When the locker is at 35 degrees or 150 degrees, nothing can live in it.
Hundreds of hungry food lovers come to the restaurant every day, many learning about the eatery on social media.
I saw something, it's probably Instagram, I know you're blowing up on Instagram. I saw something about Brooklyn dumplings and right here in the East Village, so okay.
But we have ways now because we're learning.
For Saleh Yahyayev in New York City, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
That's all the time we have for our program today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. We're continuing online. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and of course at our website, voanews.com. We also thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, Chris Cascao, and Jessica Stone. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.